This is Express FM.
Supported by Portsmouth College.
We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Another match day, another defeat for the Blues.
A completely forgettable and awful afternoon for Portsmouth. Northampton Town have beaten Portsmouth by 4-1.
4-1 away at a team battling relegation, certainly not a good way to lose. Big improvements are needed if Pompey want to keep up with the pace at the top, and Kenny Jackett acknowledges this.
Confidence is hard earned and easily given away. We did play for some pride in the second half. I understand it's not enough. You know, we have to be in the game and, you know, working hard to defend better and give ourselves a platform to go off.
Between now and 7 o'clock, we'll also hear the gaffer's pre-match thoughts as he prepares his team for the visit of Sunderland tomorrow night.
League One is about momentum, definitely, and we have to pick some up. We have to learn, we have to make sure we don't give cheap goals away, because that can destabilise and affect things. But similarly, we have to have an attitude to go and have a go at Sunderland as well and compete.
I'm joined this evening by Sam Carter and Ivan Prothero to fully investigate Saturday's disaster at Six Fields, as well as to look forward to tomorrow's game under the Fratton floodlights. As ever, we're looking forward to hearing from you back home, Blues fans. Let us know your score predictions for tomorrow and your thoughts from the weekend. Sum up that performance in one word that is obviously suitable to be read out on air. Strap yourselves in, because it's once again 6 o'clock on a Monday evening. We've got plenty to go through right here on Express FM. You're listening to the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome to the Football Hour on Express FM, the only radio station proud to be passionately Pompey, sponsored this season by Stagecoach across the South. Pompey fans back home tonight, we want to hear from you over the course of these next 60 minutes. Does this squad lack the kind of fight and determination you'd expect from a team challenging for promotion? What changes would you make ahead of tomorrow's game with the Black Cats at PO4? And is this season still salvageable under the management of Kenny Jackett? All the usual ways to get in touch tonight are as follows. Text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. Tweet us at ExpressFM, email into Pompey at ExpressFM.com, or head on over to Facebook.com/Pompey Live. But in true Football Hour fashion, we're going to kick off proceedings by hearing the highlights of Pompey's last game. And I really wouldn't blame you if you turned the volume down for the next 3.5 minutes. The Blues travelled to Northampton Town on Saturday off the back of a 2-1 defeat at Doncaster Rovers in midweek. Ahead of the match, managerless Northampton Town sat in 22nd position and had won just one game in 2021. What could go wrong, eh? Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham had you covered.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Northampton Town against Portsmouth. We are underway. Free kick coming up for Northampton. Is it going to be the right or the left of Mills? It's the right, but it's a wonderful strike, and it's into the back of the net, and it's Northampton who take the lead. What a magnificent effort. It's Ryan Watson with his fourth goal in 2.5 games, curling it into the top corner, and struggling Northampton lead against Portsmouth. Northampton 1, Portsmouth 0. Deep towards the back post, headed down into the net, and Watson's got another goal, and Northampton have doubled their lead, and Portsmouth find themselves in an almighty hole away at Six Fields against an opponent struggling near the wrong end of the table, and goals don't come any more simple than that. Watson heading it in from a few yards out. It's Northampton Town 2, Portsmouth 0. Left-footed intercontinental come again. Once more it goes deep to the far post. And McGilvery falls down. Is it in the back of the net? It's cleared off the line. The decision is goal. And Northampton have got themselves a third. And Fraser Horsfall, the centre-back, has headed in. McGilvery couldn't get there. And what a nightmare for Portsmouth. 32 minutes on the clock. Northampton Town 3, Portsmouth 0. There's a ball over the top and McGilvery out the area again. Heads it again. Hoskins has it. Keeper off his line. Hoskins tries to chip him. It's a lovely effort and it's in the net. And Northampton have got themselves a fourth. And Edmondson is the one who has helped it in. His first goal for Northampton. Hoskins is getting the credit. Is it his goal? Is it Edmondson's? It doesn't matter. It is an absolute disaster and one of the worst 45 minutes you will ever see from a Portsmouth side. It's Northampton Town 4, Portsmouth 0. Now Naylor into the area. Hawula is the onside. Hawula from a tight angle fizzes one past the far post. Best chance of the game for Portsmouth. Brown cuts the ball back. White goes down in the penalty area and the referee says that is a penalty kick. Fraser Horsfall can't believe it. Ellis Harrison has the honour of the penalty kick with 20 minutes remaining. Ellis Harrison will strike this right-footed against Jonathan Mitchell. Can Portsmouth at least get themselves a goal back? Ellis Harrison, with his right foot, steps forward down the middle and scored just. Mitchell got a hand to it and all he could do was divert it into the inside netting. It's Northampton Town 4, Portsmouth 1. Pompey might hope the ground will swallow them up at the end of this one. It's been that kind of afternoon. And now Naylor, with his right foot, is going to chip it in towards the penalty area. It is George Edmondson. Switching play. Can Northampton launch? Well, will Northampton launch one more attack? I don't think they're going to bother. They're just going to knock it around on halfway and just play to the final whistle, which goes at Sixfield Stadium. A completely forgettable and awful afternoon for Portsmouth. Northampton Town have beaten Portsmouth by 4-1.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
What a load of cobblers. Not one, but 4 birthday presents for Northampton. 3 valuable points as well for them on their 124th birthday. As for Pompey, they slumped down to 6th, with teams lurking dangerously below them. Understandably, Blues fans really not happy with that result, as well as the performance which led to it too. But the inquest starts here, and we're going to dive headfirst into it by welcoming back to the show the one and only Sam Carter. Sam, I wish we were speaking under better circumstances, but nonetheless, it is great to have you back on the show.
Thank you very much, Jake. It's a pleasure as always.
And alongside you, Sam, this evening, we have Ivan Prothero calling in to give his assessment as well as to assist in previewing tomorrow night's game a little later on too. Ivan, a pleasure to welcome you back, mate. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, mate. It's nice to be back on, but maybe not the best of times, though.
Not really. Shall we get started, then? This is going to be a fun hour, isn't it, Sam? We'll start off with, what on earth happened on Saturday? Now, we went into a game at Sixfields off the back of a 2-1 defeat at Doncaster on Tuesday night. Questions were, of course, asked after that defeat at the Keep Moat Stadium, but did you ever envisage going into a game against Northampton Town, a team who are battling to survive from relegation? They'd won just one match in 2021. Could you even dream that Pompey would go there and lose, let alone lose by such a manner?
Oh, Jake, it was not great. It was simply an embarrassment, to be honest. I think a lot of the pre-match talk was that any other time, it's almost a guaranteed 3 points going into this game. But obviously, with our current run of form, it was a bit like, oh, who knows? But I don't think anyone for a minute was expecting it to go that badly. I mean, I think everyone has come to the conclusion this season that if we concede first, we're almost, that's almost the writing on the wall for us. It's almost a game lost. But you don't expect to then concede 3 more soft goals like that. The first one, yeah, it was a cracking free kick. Not much could have been done about that, really. But just the set-piece goals, corners. You look at us at the beginning of the season, the last few years, we've been one of the most dangerous sides from set-pieces. And now it's just, we were just watching that, and it's awful. It's awful, Jake.
The last time Pompey conceded the first goal and went on to win a game, Ivan, any guesses?
Do you know what? I genuinely can't remember.
A long time ago, I can tell you that. Easter Monday, 2019. a 2-1 home win against Coventry City. That is almost 2 years ago. 2 years ago since Pompey last conceded the first goal in a game and went on to win. That is a shocking stat, Ivan, and it goes to show a lot of what people have been asking on social media over the last couple of weeks. The question is, does this team have the right kind of mentality, the motivation, the team spirit needed to compete for automatic promotion or even just the playoffs in general? With that kind of stat, would you go as far as saying no?
Well, I think you have to. You look at that and it's not only a shocking stat, it's unacceptable. You think, I look at that squad and me and Sam were saying off air, who are the leaders in this team? You look back in the 2017 squad and when we were going through tough times, you know, you had your Doyles and players like that you can rely on and will bring some character when we needed it. I look at this squad and I hope I'm wrong, but I don't see any particularly strong leaders that are going to change that.
Yeah, Linda Mayle on the emails, I think she agrees with you, Ivan. She says there was only one team that wanted to win on Saturday, and that was Northampton. They probably thought it was going to be a hard match and did not expect to win so easily. Pompey turned up expecting to win and did not show any passion or fight to achieve it. On paper, they were the better team, but sadly, we do not play on paper. We couldn't even say we were better after half-time. Northampton just had to coast through it, sadly, like our players were. An embarrassment, says Linda. She then continues to say, when we come out of Fratton Park and they play our film, they have the quotation from Alan Ball, people went to war from this city. Yes, they did, but they just didn't turn up and they had to fight to win. It is lucky we are not in a dogfight at the bottom. We have a manager who's run out of ideas and no motivation skills, but players also have to look at themselves and say, did they give their all on Saturday? And if they are honest, no. The fans and City deserve better than this, and I hope against Sunderland we do not have a record 9-0 defeat. Linda, let's hope they come out and are prepared to show passion, fight and pride in wearing the shirt. Sam, I think we could probably end the show now because Linda has just summed it up in that email. Absolutely spot on the entire way through. It was just atrocious on Saturday, wasn't it? And a lot of that come down to, like Linda mentioned there, did it look like they turned up at Sixfield expecting to win the game? There was no fight to win the game. They thought it was going to be a walk in the park because it really wasn't.
Yeah, I think the only bit of urgency I really saw all game was just that bit after the four subs came on. I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? We know that Kenny doesn't really like a substitution, but making four subs in one go, we could genuinely be the first team to have done that since the rules changed on substitutions. I don't think I've seen it, but there was no fight whatsoever. I understand that. You know, you get a first half like that as a player, your team's down 4-0, you're a bit shell-shocked, you don't really know what to do, but you had half time to go in, to recollect your thoughts, to come back out and still show a bit of fight, and we were just completely outclassed. And the stats you mentioned just before about Northampton, what were they? They're the lowest scorers in the league, I think.
They're now joint lowest scorers.
Yeah, they were.
and
that's just... I just really still can't really get my head around it, and I just am worried for tomorrow night now.
Would you like a few more stats? They're not good ones, I'll tell you that now. That is now 20 games where Pompey have been either level or behind at half time, and we've only won 3 of those 20 games this season. Again, highlighting that comeback spirit not present within that team at the moment, unfortunately. And another one is, but Northampton going into that game hadn't beat any team occupying a top 10 position all season. And then Pompey came to town and changed all of that. If, like Linda there, you'd like to get involved with the discussion tonight, we really do invite you to do so. Whatever you've got to say, we're here to help you get it off your chest. Text Express followed by your name and message to 81400. Otherwise, you can email pompey@expressfm.com, include @expressfm within your tweets, or visit facebook.com/pompeylive. And Ivan, going back to Saturday, because as you can imagine, it is the big talking point of tonight's show. We spoke after the Bristol Rovers game about that potentially being our worst 90 minutes of football this season. Has that now been replaced by Saturday's woeful display?
Honestly, I think it has to be. I mean, I'm astounded how you can have 70% possession and be that poor. And not just be that poor, but have just nothing going forward. We had no creativity. We looked completely like, well, we've touched on it before, how leadless we've looked. But I honestly want to know how many teams have had 70% possession and lost 4-1 and conceded 4 goals in particularly as well. Because let's be honest, you have the ball for most of the game.
Yeah.
So that is shocking. And I think confidence is, as Kenny mentioned after the game, is particularly at a potentially all-time low. I particularly thought that with Craig as well. You know, he made some pretty poor errors of judgment in that game as well. And I think that shows.
Yeah. Okay, lads, we're now going to hear from manager Kenny Jackett, who spoke to Ollie Marsh on the touchline following Saturday's defeat at Northampton.
Well, Kenny, the supporters who were watching at home and iFollow will have been absolutely appalled by what they saw in the first half. First of all, what's your message to them this evening?
Yeah, of course, we're disappointed with our defending, the goals that we gave away. The first goal where, you know, Andy slipped, but looked a poor free kick to give away, and then, you know, Watson's put that one in, and, you know, followed further by two more set pieces anyway, in quite quick succession, with headers from 2-3 yards out, direct from a corner, and we were 3-0 down. The fourth one, we were in control in terms of getting there first of a ball over the top, my defender and my goalkeeper, and probably the wrong selection, and Hoskins has sidestepped it and put it over my keeper. So, you know, give ourselves a mountain to climb then, and really put ourselves out the game very early on with some poor defending.
When you have the quality that you have in the side, and when you say that commitment's no issue, how does something like that happen, and how do those defensive mistakes keep happening?
Yeah, confidence is hard earned and easily given away, and, you know, as I said, the first three goals are all set pieces, and, you know, something we always work hard at and pride ourselves on, and you always have to go off a defensive base all of the time to be in games, particularly early on, and you may open up slightly as the game goes on, but that's not the case in the opening part of the game, and, you know, we didn't do that today. And, you know, as I said, the first three goals set pieces, and a fourth one where defensively we were in control, and it gave us a mountain to climb. We did play for some pride in the second half. I understand it's not enough. It has to be, you know, we have to be in the game and, you know, working hard to defend better and give ourselves a platform to go off. You know, we do want to go forward and score goals, but unless you can always have a defensive base to work off, then it makes it very difficult and seeps confidence away as you give goals away.
As you mentioned, you gave yourselves a mountain to climb. You must have been angry at half-time, and there must have been words at half-time in the team talks exchange.
Yeah, we talked about the goals. I talked about the goals, and you know, individually, because obviously, you know, if you're looking at conceding from three set pieces and the second and third one, two free headers within, you know, 3 yards out, which was quite surprising, to be honest with you. I was surprised that they were there when the deliveries went in. I thought we'd deal with them, and we usually do, but we didn't today. And, you know, we had to go through those, you know, those situations. We had to see where we were in a fourth goal where we were in control of a ball over the top, and, you know, we've conceded again, and, you know, those moments have cost us, and then we set targets for the second half, because, you know, as much as the second half came, and it's obviously a tough call because the game's over, you know, we had to salvage something and work forward for our future.
Yeah, and what is the response? Where do you go from here in terms of getting back to training now?
Yeah, for you know, looking at today's game, we obviously do need to defend better, set pieces, a base to go off. You know, they're important things, very important things, and we can't give away goals like we did today, because, you know, there were simple goals, simple mistakes, and opportunities for us to deal with it that we didn't deal with, and because we didn't deal with it, we got punished.
The post-match thoughts of the gaffer there. Ivan, Kenny mentioned towards the end of that interview how disappointed he was with the defending for Northampton's goals, and it's hard to sit here and defend the players too, because that's a truly shambolic display at the back from Pompey.
Well, it's amateurish, isn't it? It's, you know, to concede three off a set pieces, that's just simply unacceptable. It doesn't matter who you are. They're your basics, and if you're not nailing them, to be honest, I don't know what you're doing on the training ground.
And it all came down to set pieces on Saturday, didn't it, Sam? Two goals from corners, one of which, I mean, it wasn't at the game, but I heard from our Hampshire Live colleague, John T. Coleman. He tweeted, look, we don't single out players, but Saturday was down to four goals, down to four individual errors. And the second goal, it came from a corner. Lee Brown, he screamed, "We do not concede again." And we conceded. And he was the man, unfortunately, who didn't leap highest to beat the striker for the header. And how has this happened? Because Pompey used to be so good at defending from set pieces. A lot has changed over the last month or two.
Yeah, it just comes down to organisation, doesn't it? That is the very basis of the unity of a team, how you are able to defend set pieces. Like, that's the one, you know, the one time where you know that everyone's back in your box and it's up to you to organise and make sure you don't make those mistakes. And all right, here and there you make mistakes, everyone does, but four in a game, and it's just, well, or two or three in a game, it's just, we're so bad. Like, it just shows, it, like Ivan said earlier, that it's the lack of confidence about us at the moment, and it just needs to be sorted out. I understand we're not getting as much time on the training pitch at the moment. We've got a Tuesday, Saturday game every week,
no excuse. A lot of teams have got them, haven't they? Everyone's in the same boat at the moment. I know what you're saying, you know, the Tuesday and Saturday, it's a strenuous schedule, but every team's in the same boat. It comes down to the, you know, the conversation we've had in previous football hours about having no fans at Fratton Park. Unfortunately, it's the same for everyone. It may be a factor, but everyone is in the same kind of position. And Pompey fans, look, if you're listening back home, if you think we're not being balanced enough, if you think we can be more positive, please get in touch, because I really struggle to find any positives from Saturday at all. And we do try our best. We really do. OK, we've heard the post-match thoughts of Kenny Jackett, and after the break, we'll be taking a listen to his pre-match thoughts. The gaffer has been speaking ahead of tomorrow's clash with Sunderland at Fratton Park, further emphasising the improvements that need to be made at the back.
I didn't think there was any intensity to our defending on Saturday. At certain times, we didn't either value it or execute it well enough. You know, if you're looking at the goals against, they were poor ones from our point of view, and really gave us, you know, a mountain to climb. We were out the game 30, 40 minutes into it.
Keep those text, tweets and emails coming in to us, Pompey fans. Whatever you want to say tonight, we welcome your interaction and would also appreciate your score predictions for tomorrow night's game too. Get in touch before 7 p.m. Simply text your name and message to 81400, starting those with the word Express. Tweet using @ExpressFM. Pompey at ExpressFM.com is our email address. Or you can comment over at Facebook.com/PompeyLive. The three of us will be back very shortly for part two of tonight's Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the second part of tonight's Monday Football Hour, which is now on a Tuesday morning. Shout out to Stay Church across the South. Download the app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to buy a ticket for your next journey, all without having to make contact payment when boarding. And please remember that if you must travel via public transport, please only do so for essential journeys and wear a face covering throughout your entire journey. As we mentioned, we are now on a Tuesday morning. I'm joined by Sam Carter and Ivan Prothero. If you were listening to the Football Hour last night, my apologies. We did cut out around about 25 past six. There was a power cut at Express FM. Luckily, it is all sorted now. We are back up and running. But we are now recording the final part of this Football Hour live from the comfort of our own homes in our bedrooms. So this is going to be fun. So, throwing back to last night, Sam, I believe we just heard the interview from Kenny Jackett after the game on Saturday, 4-1 defeat in Northampton. And I think we were highlighting the defensive woes that Pompey were enduring during that game, the individual errors that cost Pompey those four goals. We spoke about the confidence, the mentality within this squad. And we've heard in recent weeks certain players and managers come out and into the press and say, we've got a great mentality, we've got a great team spirit at Portsmouth, but we're just not seeing this reflected on the pitch, are we?
Yeah, it's you never want to doubt that, because obviously we're just outsiders, we're not there on the training ground, we don't see what goes on behind closed doors. We only, especially now as well, we pretty much only literally see the games now. But it just seems, if this is all true, if they really do have this amazing team spirit, then why are we seeing the goals that we are seeing conceded in the sense of set pieces, the kind of disarray we're seeing when a corner gets into our box? And it just doesn't seem to be much connect in attacking play either, that we're not scoring much anymore. Like the times when about October, November time, when we first moved to the 4-4-2 again and we were scoring for fun, we were playing amazing football, and it's just disappeared. And it's all good and well to hear that we've got this amazing camaraderie between the players, but we just need to see more of it on the pitch. Let that go into the performances.
Roger and Gosport's got involved on the text. He says, no passion, no communication, and it goes on. We've been in lockdown for a long time and most of us are unable to go to the matches or watch them. So all we want is an effort put in for us fans.
I hope the Irishans look into this. Keep the faith, Roger and Gosport. And no name on this text, but they say, what was the formation used on Saturday? It definitely wasn't 4-4-2. Come on, Kenny, wake up. Oh, that's Carol and Hailing on the text there. Ivan, and you know, two very good points there from Roger and Carol in regards to, well, we'll start off with communication, the fact that we are still in lockdown, and fans are expecting these players to, you know, put on a performance for them and kind of bring the supporters some kind of light, some kind of hope in the kind of time that we find ourselves in right now. And it is such a shame that we, like Sam just said, we're not getting that at the moment.
No, and I think you touched on it last night, briefly. We were talking about Lee Brown before shouting things before corners about being organised. It's very well, you know, saying the right things, but you've got to do the right things as well. There's no point in, you know, screaming your head off and then not, and then being the man to not clear the ball. I mean, these are all words and no actions. So I think yeah, it is frustrating. I think added to the fact that, you know, we can't go to the games at the moment, although judging on the weekend, I'm not sure I want to go to that game particularly, but, you know, it is frustrating. And I think it's added to the frustration in the fact that there is no fans and all the rest of it. But I feel like the minimum we need to see is some effort. And at least in the second half, it would have been nice to come out and see a bit more desire. I know we got a goal back, but I don't think it was up to scratch, to be honest. And I think that's possibly the worst performance I've seen in possibly under Jacket, to be honest.
The manager gets a lot of scrutiny as well, Sam. And I think, you know, you can tell that now more than ever, really. Kenny Jacket is getting a lot of criticism at the moment. But, and we've highlighted the fact over recent weeks, but he's changed his formation, tactics have been altered a little bit, and that has contributed to our downfall. But do you kind of expect the players as well to take some sort of accountability? Because on Saturday against Northampton, with all due respect to the opponents, in the kind of form they were in, how bad on paper they are and how they approach games, regardless of minor tweaks of formations Kenny could have made, those players should have put in a hell of a, you know, a better shift.
Oh, well, definitely. Like, of course, it's easy to blame the manager. You see that in every club situation when they hit poor form. But when a team like us that's expected to be in the promotion and fold, and I know we are still, but I looked at the form table today to see what's going on, and we're 23rd in the form table. Let me just get it up quickly. We've got 4 points from our last 6 games, and that's just atrocious. That's so bad, and that's the kind of bit when everyone needs to be accountable. Like, it's easy to blame the manager only, but again, like you've just said as well, we've credited him for changing his formation earlier in the season, and then that worked. So now it gets to the point as well where it's tough to see where the blame can lie now. Everyone needs to kind of reset and just try and get going again, because it's just not good enough at the moment at all.
No. And some emails coming in as well, as you can imagine, there's plenty of them to get through. First of all, Matt Wheatley in Oxford, he says, hi, Jake and the team. Still seething from that embarrassing performance on Saturday, and I hope the players have had a long, hard look at themselves over the past couple of days. We looked weak in most areas, and it's frightening to see how far we've fallen behind the pace setters now. The return from injury of Michael Jacobs will hopefully reignite some form for the team. I think Hawula deserves a start too. I think Hawula and Harrison work well together, so I play those two up top in a 4-4-2 with Jacobs and Williams on either wing. I'd also play Bolton at right back with Jack and Raggett in the centre and Lee Brown on the left. We couldn't have picked a harder team to come up against in Sunderland, given their current form, but I'm hoping we'll snatch a 1-0 win. Play up Pompey, Matt Wheatley in Oxford. And we'll come on to preview the Sunderland game, not after the break, but in around about 5-10 minutes' time, Ivan. But within that email, mentions about Saturday, of course, and how it was a frightening performance, and how Pompey in recent games, not just defensively, but going forward as well, have just been completely devoid of any creativity. Is this down to the tactics, or is this down to, do you think, team confidence?
Look, I'm not one to really call for a manager's head, and I think it's always difficult. It's always easier to blame the manager, especially given the pedigree he's had in this division. You know, you look at it with his time in Millwall and Wolves, and you know, he's proved a lot, but I think he's been here since 2017 now, and the squad is pretty much entirely his, bar a couple of youth players that came through the academy. And I feel that that needs to be, that's extra pressure, because this is his squad. I personally don't look at the squad and think, are we any closer to getting promoted than with this squad than the one he inherited? I actually think we've gone backwards, to be honest. I do think we've stagnated under him. And that's not to say we've had some good times. I think, you know, you look at 2018 when we were top of the league in December, you look at this year, we've been there, but the issue I have is we seem to fall off a cliff all the time. And even when we do gain momentum, I don't feel confident enough that we're going to keep it. And I think my biggest issue under Jacket has been simply, I don't understand the signings. You look at John Marquis, for example, he was incredible for Doncaster. You know, he's bordering on a championship player. He was certainly, I think, the best striker in the league. Maybe Ivan Toney, with the exception to that possibly, but he just doesn't seem to fit a system. And I don't understand how this has happened, because you presume he gave the green light to get him in, but he looks completely lost on him. He looks completely out of form. He looks frustrated. And, you know, I don't think that's down to the player, because you look at him and he looks sharp when he's had his opportunities. It's not as if he's been missing sitters or anything, but I don't know. The main thing, this is turning into a rant, so I'll try and wrap it up as quickly as possible, but the main thing that really worries me, the main thing that really worries me going into the next couple of weeks, possibly isn't tomorrow, it's the Papa John's final, because we saw this last time how Kenny Jacket won that trophy in the eyes and seemed to really like that fact. And I understand it's a big income, less so this year because there's no fans. So, you know, you don't have that ticket revenue, you don't have the merchandise and that kind of thing. But I do wonder if he didn't win that trophy, whether he'd still be in the job. And it does concern me. And it concerns me purely for the fact that I don't think it's good enough. And I don't think that's enough to say, well, okay, we've certainly bottled two promotion pushes, which we should have got automatics. You know, he's been there for 4 years now. We're still in the same division. I do think we've gone backwards. And truth be told, it does worry me, because if he wins that, and you know, as a Pompey fan, you want to win finals. Of course you want to win finals. But you just wonder, I think it will put more into question the accountability of the Eisners going forward if he wins that, because you wonder if they're happy with just that, what else are they going to be happy with? And I think that'll be the first real major test between the relationship of the fans and the club.
Yeah. And before we do move on, Sam, we'll come to preview what is now tonight's game against Sunderland at Fratton Park, and we'll come on to that very shortly. And I do want to mention as well that trophy final on Saturday very briefly, but just very quickly, do you think Pompey are going to struggle now to try and make the top six now? I think automatic promotion for a lot of fans is a foregone conclusion. But given recent form, given the fact that teams are creeping up from below Pompey now, you've got your Ipswich, your Accrington as well, you're just below the playoffs. They've got games in hand. Sunderland have now leapfrogged us. Doncaster are just on terrific form. Peter as well, just absolutely soaring. Do you think that maybe even reaching the top six could be a struggle?
I hate being pessimistic, I really do, especially about Pompey, but it's just so hard not to be. If like, you know, we were 15th, 14th in the form table, it's easier to look at it and say, you know, we can get back on it. But when you've got 4 points from six games, that's we're literally in relegation form, and it's just so worrying that, like you said, those teams below us seem to be the ones that are really in form at the moment. You've got a division where every team seems to have a different matches played count to the other. There's games in hand all over the shop. And form is temporary, class is permanent, you've got all that, but have we really seen much class this year to really think that we can be nailed on as playoff candidates? And I still want to keep the faith, and I still think that we can, because our form has been fairly inconsistent this year. So we should have another good run. And historically, we do seem to always make playoffs, and Kenny always does seem to. But then again, the question gets asked, will we win the playoffs tonight? I couldn't see that happening. So
given
it's hard to say.
Yeah, given our track record in the playoffs, Sam, you'd be forgiven to maybe be a little bit pessimistic about that one. What, four playoff campaigns now? We've been defeated all times away from home and we've drawn every home game. So it's a bizarre stat, but like you say, given our record in the playoffs, you're not confident at all. We'll move on then. We'll start to look ahead to the future a little bit, Ivan. And you mentioned a few moments ago about the EFL Trophy final on Saturday. And we'll preview our game in full depth on Friday night. We'll try and hype it up to the occasion, but it's unfortunately not going to be anymore. But we've heard recently in the last couple of days, but the EFL are suggesting maybe both Pompey and Salford only being allowed to field players who were eligible for last season's campaign, which, I mean, okay, it makes sense, but when you actually look at the squads of both Pompey and Salford City, I think Salford have only got 9 senior players who would therefore be eligible because they had a complete overhaul in the summer. They changed their manager. Pompey have lost a few players, your Christian Burgess, your Cameron McGeehan as well. So would you be surprised that this kind of rule, if you could call it that, gets passed through, or do you think actually it makes a lot more sense than we might think at the moment?
Look, I understand the integrity of it. I understand where they're coming from logically, because it's only fair that the players that got to the final were there at the club to play in the final. I think that's where it ends. I think anything else after that is stupid, to be honest, because you look at the two squads, it's unfeasible to expect them to field. I mean, transfer windows change so, we all know how quickly teams can change and things like that. And like you said, with managers, and actually I think you made a very good point there, Salford have changed their manager. Well, what does that mean? Do you get the old manager back just for one game? I mean, it's ludicrous, to be honest. And yeah, I'm not surprised by the decision, because it's the EFL and there's been some, let's be fair, dodgy ones of recent past, but I don't personally think it's a good idea at all.
Well, I for one would love to see Christian Burgess, Cam McGeehan back at the club, Sam. But like Ivan said, it's a bit too far fetched for that sort of thing to happen. But listen, I think 4 days away now from Wembley, Pompey against Salford City on Saturday, and like I know I said a few moments ago, we'll preview it in full on Friday night. But going into that game, a trophy final at Wembley behind closed doors, a chance for Pompey to make a bit of history in becoming technically the first team to retain the trophy. But then in doing so, they'd also be, they'd be the team to hold the trophy for the longest period of time, but also the team to hold the trophy for the shortest period of time. And I don't think certainly the latter will ever be beaten, because Sunderland are playing Tranmere on Sunday for this year's final. It's just a completely bizarre set of circumstances, Sam. And I don't think the hype is really there for it at the moment, which is, it's a real shame.
Yeah, I guess as well, you could say tonight's game, Pompey v Sunderland, both teams are playing in the EFL Trophy final this weekend, but for different years. So it's all over the place, isn't it? But it's a reset. It is a really good chance to get the confidence back up, regardless of what happens tonight. The team have this opportunity to lift a trophy at Wembley. And it's like we said with regards to the last EFL Trophy final, we as fans might not see it as, a major trophy. We've got a couple of FA Cups in our trophy cabinet. We've been there and we've seen better finals, but for the players, it is their cup final to achieve. Like, I don't think any of these players will ever get an FA Cup final, no disrespect to them, but so this is their opportunity to go out and play at Wembley with the fans or not, and to lift a trophy up those stairs. And I if you win it, then really that could be a benchmark to go and push on for the rest of the season, regardless of our form now.
Yeah. Okay, lads, we're going to move on to preview tonight's game at Fratton Park. But first of all, we're going to hear the pre-match thoughts of the gaffer, who spoke to Ollie Marsh at the training ground yesterday afternoon, previewing an important week for the club, which represents a great opportunity for his side to get back on track.
Yeah, they are great opportunities for us to get back. You know, we do feel we've got to do better than we have. Obviously, a 4-1 loss on Saturday isn't, you know, where we want to be, and we're disappointed by that. And, you know, there's no greater opportunity anyway. Sunderland at home, live on the TV to bounce back. There's certain things we need to do better. I didn't think there was any intensity to our defending on Saturday. At certain times, we didn't either value it or execute it well enough. You know, if you're looking at the goals against, they were poor ones from our point of view and really gave us, you know, a mountain to climb. We were out the game 30-40 minutes into it, and that was so disappointing. And it's not like ourselves, you know, we can be solid in those situations to give ourselves a platform and an opportunity going forward, and you know, the players looked slightly shell-shocked with that. But you know, we have a good group of players, and you know, I have confidence in them, and they can get back to winning ways, definitely.
Yeah, confidence is a word that you used after the Northampton game. Do you have any fear that tomorrow's game will be a team with an awful lot of confidence taking on a team that have very low confidence at the moment?
You know, League One is about momentum, definitely, and we have to pick some up, and that's it. So the next game is the most important one. We have to learn. We have to make sure we don't give cheap goals away, because you know that can obviously destabilise and affect things. But similarly, we have to have an attitude to go and have a go at Sunderland as well and compete. Nothing beats hard work. Nothing beats competing. Nothing beats defending as a team and making sure that wherever you can, you put pressure on the opposition. Sunderland are a good side. They always have been and always will be. You know, we understand that. But similarly, and away from whoever our next opponent is, you know, it's our own performance that we have to take responsibility for. Identify the key things that win your football matches and then make sure that we do them.
Lee Johnson has obviously come in at Sunderland. How highly do you rate him as a manager, and what do you know about him and his style of play?
Of course, they've done very well, and Lee has done very well. And as I said, you know, Sunderland Football Club are a massive club, and they will always produce a good side. You know, we understand that and respect it as well. But similarly, you know, we have to get our own game right, and that's where our concentration is. Identify, you know, what we need to do to improve, what wins games of football, and get back to that. And as I said, you know, roll your sleeves up. Nothing beats hard work. And in this situation where we are now, where we've had, you know, a poor return in terms of points per game, and one that we're disappointed with, you know, we have to work our way out of this and do everything we can to earn the points again, which we're capable of, fully capable of tomorrow.
Just touching on the Papa John's Trophy final, is it true that discussions are still ongoing in terms of which players are going to be eligible for that game? Do you know what team you're going to be able to play?
No, there hasn't been any clarity yet. You know, it was the sort of the meeting the back end of last week, so it will come out. I'm sure at some stage today that will be discussed. All of our focus internally is on Tuesday night's game, and I'm sure by the end of the day, the team selection and the player availability, which is obviously important, will be there for Saturday.
Yeah, and I think I'm right in saying there's a friendly game tomorrow as well. What are you hoping to get out of that one?
Yeah, we have some players that need some minutes as we slightly come through the heavy pitches. You know, the better pitches now. We will be having some games for some players that need to come back from injury, for some of our younger players as well. So there'll be a mixture against Luton at Gosport tomorrow in terms of players, one or two trialists as well. And, you know, we'll be staging those types of games between now and the end of the season. One to help, you know, some of our senior players, two for our younger players, and then at the right time to take the opportunity to look at one or two people coming in on trial.
Manager Kenny Jackett there speaking ahead of tonight's game at home to Sunderland, which myself, Sam and Ivan are now going to look a little bit closer at. And Ivan, we've been speaking before that interview about tonight's game, Sunderland's at home, and Sam mentioned they're also playing in a trophy final this weekend. In any other given season, you'd be kind of forgiven for maybe thinking that both teams would have one eye on the trophy final at the weekend, or their respective trophy finals at the weekend. But, you know, given the circumstances with COVID, with the lack of supporters, the fact Pompey have won it already, of course, and given the fact that both teams are still battling for promotion, would you say that this trophy final is sort of being not brushed under the carpet, but it's certainly not at the top of any priority list?
Given our current form, absolutely. I think you ask most Pompey fans, would you prefer to see a convincing win to encourage you going forward in the league, or do you want to win, let's be honest, quite a tin pot trophy? I think most people would probably say get a convincing win against, let's be honest, a promotion rival. And it is crucial. It's going to be crucial tonight, because not only, I'm not talking just about the result, but it's how we react to the abysmal travesty that was Northampton. So I think it's huge tonight. And I think it's going to be interesting, the team. I'm sure we'll touch on that later, but I think it's going to be interesting to see the team and formation he goes with. because there's look at Curtis and Harness, who have been really important this season. They're both really out of form at the moment, and I think that's a huge part of us, because a lot goes through them two guys, and it just can't at the moment. It's just, I know you look at Curtis's goal return and it's good, but it's still, his form is still not very good at all. So yeah, I think tonight's a huge test for us.
A couple more emails to read out before we do move any further forward. Alan Swift. Hi, Jake, Sam and Ivan. Hope you've all recovered from that debacle on Saturday, where once again the management had it all wrong again. My revised belief now is partly mismanagement, but more like 90% of the players not having the will or desire to perform. Remember the playoffs last year and possibly the season before as well, where we utterly collapsed against a poor Oxford side. I said it after the game that the players did not want promotion, as half of them would be replaced in the Championship. This is the only logical, consistent reason for their unacceptably poor displays. Okay, misjudged team selections and subs do not and never will help as the players lose faith. Even if we thrash Sunderland, I will stand by my convictions. I think maybe we will cling to the playoffs, only to once again fail. I could not give a prediction for Northampton, with the same applying for tonight. A genuine 4-4-2 with two strikers may help, but can we see Jacket starting Hawula? If he does, it's in desperation and too late, says Alan in Southsea. A lot to dissect from that email as well, Sam. And the big really factor within that, and again, this has been the topic of conversation last week on the show, but also on social media over the last two or three weeks. Since the salary cap was scrapped, since there's been talks from higher up at the club about, you know, players not necessarily having their contracts renewed, the uncertainty of the financial future of a club, where Pompey are going to be either in League One or the Championship next season. We've got players out of contract in the summer who still haven't resolved those issues. Do you think this is actually playing a bigger part than we would like to hope?
It's a funny one, because every year we seem to have this whole contract discussion, and it is hard to understand, because okay, we have this whole situation every year. Are we going to go up? Are we going to stay here? The players don't want to sign on because they could get more money in a higher division if we get promoted. We don't want to sign them on because if we get promoted, we might get someone better. It's such a hard situation, and I understand that, but there's certain players in this squad, I know a lot of them aren't performing now, but a few core, like your Tom Naylors, your Watmores, that I really would love to see tied down. And I know it's also up to their camp as well, but I don't know. You'd think as well, though, that if they're out of contract this summer, and regardless whether they're fighting for a contract here or elsewhere, you shouldn't be seeing performances like this, that's for sure, especially with the amount of players we do have with their futures uncertain this summer. So, you know what, I don't think it is playing that much of a part. It can't be in that sense, because every game is almost, with it on TV these days, all the iFollow cameras everywhere, you can see highlights for everything, the scouting systems you have set up. Every performance should be a trial for every player, and certainly nobody's going to be looking at a Pompey player at the moment and thinking, that's someone I want to sign.
Roger and Gosport's got back in touch. He says, evening, Jacob, lads, yet another poor display. I just think whatever Kenny is getting the players to do in training, I guess it's not working. Regular performances like that and you'll lose a lot of fans. Sunderland is a must-win game to get the fans back on side. Keep the faith, though. Roger in Gosport. And speaking of tonight's opponent, Sunderland, Connor Mosley has the lowdown on them now.
It was back-to-back defeats for the Blues at the weekend as Northampton Town shook the division by taking a 4-1 win at Six Fields. Up next for Pompey, the visit of some old foes, Sunderland. Kenny Jackett will be looking to avoid watching his side drop out of the playoffs this week ahead of a break in league action on Saturday due to last season's EFL Trophy final taking place instead. To remain in the top six, the Blues will need to see off the Black Cats at Fratton Park. And here's what we know about the side travelling down from the northeast. Former Oldham Athletic, Barnsley and Bristol City boss Lee Johnson is the latest man to take on the challenge of managing Sunderland. The 39-year-old, who retired from playing in 2013, represented 8 different clubs during a 13-year professional career in midfield, running out for the likes of Yeovil Town, Bristol City and Kilmarnock. Johnson only took charge of the Machams as recently as December 2020, following the departure of Phil Parkinson at the Stadium of Light. Since then, he's secured a win percentage of 54.5%, having secured 12 victories from 22, lifting the side into the playoff positions. Irish winger Aidan McGeady is always one to keep an eye out for during these meetings. Despite now being 34 years old, McGeady still plays like one of the best wide players in the division, and has been Sunderland's most consistent performer over the last 4 years since they signed him from Everton in 2017. McGeady scored both of Sunderland's goals during the 2-2 draw after extra time in the 2019 Checkatrade Trophy final before, of course, the Blues won on penalties. Incidentally, this is the last match before both sides return to Wembley this weekend, though not to face each other again, thankfully, as Pompey take on Salford City on Saturday to contest for the long-awaited 2020 crown before Sunderland hope to see off Tranmere Rovers a day later for this season's title. 28-year-old Charlie Wyke is the club's leading scorer at this stage, with 20 strikes from 30 League One appearances. Wyke, who previously played for teams including Hartlepool United, AFC Wimbledon and Bradford City, really made a name for himself whilst playing for Carlisle United in League Two, scoring 32 goals in 77 competitive games between 2015 and 2017 before securing a move to Bradford. The centre-forward signed for Sunderland in 2018, and despite his impressive goal-scoring tally this term, he had only managed 9 goals in total across the previous 2 seasons at the club. Wyke is second in the division's leading scorers chart, behind only Peterborough's Johnson Clark-Harris, who has scored 21. Unlike Pompey, Sunderland are on a very good run of form right now. Their last 6 league matches have returned 5 wins and a draw, which came away against Crewe Alexandra. During that time frame, the Black Cats also saw off promotion rivals Lincoln City in the EFL Trophy semi-final, coming from behind to win on penalties at the Stadium of Light. Overall, Lee Johnson's side sit 4th in League One, 5 points above the Blues, having played the same amount of games. They're just 5 points shy of the automatics as things stand, with 14 matches to play. Can Pompey prevent a third straight defeat, or will Sunderland rock up and pile further misery upon the Blues? All of the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
Conor Mosley there with a closer look at the Machams, of course, Pompey's opponents for tonight's game under the Fratton Park floodlights. Match day number 33 of this League One season. And looking at some stats going into the game, Ivan, Pompey have conceded the most goals at home during the period of 76 to 90 minutes, which is 7. Whereas Sunderland have scored the most away goals during the same period of the game. So Pompey like to concede late on at home. Sunderland like to score late on away from home. This has got the recipe for absolute disaster.
Yeah. I mean, of course it does. And do you know what? I think as negative as it's been in the recent weeks, I always think it could be worse, you know, because it's a miracle for me that Watmore's been this fit all season. I know he's had some issues now and things, but my God, if we didn't have Watmore as well, where would we be? And I don't understand. I think me and Sam were talking about it briefly last night before we got cut off. I don't understand why there's no faith in Daniels more. You bring him in and you think he's got real experience going on from, you know, Premier League and Championship. Why is he in? Because if he's not going to be playing, what does he contribute? I imagine the point in bringing a player of his quality and experience in is to be that leader on the pitch and is to actually galvanise the team going forward, especially defensively, because that Northampton game, we were an absolute shambles at the back. And surely he's the kind of person you want to put in there, but just no sign of him. And I don't understand if Kenny doesn't trust him, doesn't think he's fit enough. I'd love to know that, because I honestly, in January, I saw that as a really good signing. And I thought, this is the kind of player you'd look at as a League One club and go, this is how we're going to get to Championship. You're going to identify these players who aren't, let's be honest, he's not League One level, he's higher than that. And he's the kind of scout you want to take and go, right, great, we'll build on this. He's on the bench.
Yeah. Jackets Jacket on Twitter says, current performances would suggest we are far from being able to turn this round and build momentum needed. Even our best times under Kenny
I felt we've had momentum going into games, knowing you'll get one over them. Instead, concerned knowing every game will now be tight, says Jacket there on Twitter. And in regards to tonight's team selection, Adam Dark on Twitter says, stick the names in a hat and pull them out. None of them deserve to play. Don't even think that's an exaggeration, do we, Sam? You know, we've already mentioned Saturday's capitulation at Sixfields, and we are moving on to tonight's game, but we're also going to talk about the team lineup and the kind of the 11 we expect to see on that pitch. Adam there, sticking the names in a hat and pull them out because none of them deserve to play. Can't really.
Yeah. I mean, the most worrying thing for me was the last few weeks I've been looking at it, and I think the two players that have actually most impressed me, I know that's it was a pretty low bar, but have been Nick Olaisen and Harvey White. And those are the two players that aren't contracted by our club. And it's, I think that just sums it up with the danger of loan signings in our division. And to be honest, our recruitment recently, I haven't been, there's just no confidence in it. Like, as well, like Ivan said about Daniels, we've brought in a player that is got this pedigree, but he hasn't played as much. We've brought in Hawula, who we've seen on a few occasions can turn a game, but he's only been given 5-10 minutes almost every week, if that. And again, like in regards to team selection, like we see the same lineup almost every week, so much so to the point now that we've got a game against Luton today with our reserves, and Ben Close is playing in that. Why isn't he getting a go on in the first team when we're seeing these struggles? I know centre mid hasn't exactly been our problem, but it's quite frustrating, this absolute like refusal to change when things are going wrong. And yeah, you know what? Pull the names out of the hat for tonight, because it's got to that point where it's like you can't really pick anyone that deserves to be the first name on the sheet.
Graham Wilkins has got in touch. He says, hi, Jake. Hi, all. To be quite honest with you, I'm quite concerned for the Blues game tonight against the Black Cats in front of the Sky cameras. If we play as badly as we did on Saturday, then I can see Charlie Wyke and co. having a field day at Fratton Park. I know stranger things have happened, but Pompey are a side very low on confidence, and I feel we will slide out of the playoffs by the end of the season unless Pompey start playing as a team rather than individuals. I did say on Friday we'd give managerless Northampton a win, and I was proved right. I hope this team can now prove me wrong. Graham Wilkins on the emails there. And looking ahead to tonight's game, one of the names that's already been mentioned a few moments ago, Ivan, is Jordy Hawula. And the kind of beauty of re-recording this show on a Tuesday morning, the night after we're of course scheduled to be out on air, is we've now heard that Jordy Hawula, as per Jonty Coleman from Hampshire Live, who whispers it quietly on Twitter, is getting a start tonight. How do you feel about that?
I think he's got to. I think we are so dire at the moment. You've got to take players on form, you know, and he is one of the few bright spots at the moment in the team that looks like he's got a little bit of confidence. And I think we've got run with that. As we previously discussed, he's not going with experience, you know, with the likes of Daniels and things. So if that's not the route you want to take, you've got to go for form. My biggest, and I hate to go back to this again, but I'm going to, so strap in. My biggest issue is I look at this side being managed for 4 years. I don't know about you guys, but I can't see an identity to how we play. I don't think there's no philosophy in how our team plays, you know. And you can criticize the manager all you like, but at least, you know, look at the likes of Tony Pulis, and people hate his football, but what you can say is, you know, what advantages it brings. You know, it's very, very negative, but it gets results because of certain things. I can't say that for Kenny Jacket. I have, after 4 years of watching it, I have absolutely no idea what we're trying to do. And I think that's my biggest issue. So just going back to your question about Sunderland tonight and who we should play, does it matter? Because I can't see who's responded to the formation or how we want to play at all. And that's got to be the biggest concern for me.
I think John Ellerton on the emails agrees with you somewhat, Ivan. He says, Jacket has been here for 4 years and we are no further forward than the day he arrived. Horrible, unentertaining, hoofball game after game. Yet we still won't sack him. Lamb would have got rid of him 2 years ago, says John Ellerton in Stubbington. Going all in there, Sam. But, you know, as Ivan mentioned, you know, almost 4 years now coming up to, you know, to the day that Kenny Jacket was appointed as manager of Pompey. We're heading into the direction, possibly, that we are going to face another season of not getting promoted. And, okay, you could argue that that first season under Kenny Jacket was more of a consolation season, just finishing as high as we could. And we gave a very good account of ourselves on, you know, that year. But three seasons of projected failure, is that too long for a manager to try and get things sorted? Because we've heard in, you know, the last couple of months about how we've needed, you know, signings in January to save our season. We've needed players to come in, and we've needed to adapt formations and, you know, change things up tactically. Is that something you expect in maybe the first, possibly the second season, not the third or fourth?
Yeah, I it's hard to argue with what Ivan's really just said there. It just is really abject of any direction in the sense of, you know, tactics, in the sense of signings. We just seem to, if you think about it, the football we've played over the years, Ollie Hawkins was the perfect striker for what we played. And then he goes, we get probably, like Ivan said earlier, again, one of the best strikers that League One has seen over the last few years. And he doesn't really fit our system. And that's the kind of thing that frustrates me. It's when you make these marquee signings and they don't perform, because there's not been that kind of look into how he can work for us the way we play. And again, you look at the record Jacket's had over the last 4 years, and if I'm not mistaken, he's actually on win percentage our most successful manager we've ever had, with just over 50%. And that's hard to look at and then say it's been unsuccessful. But we've all been there. We've all watched the games. We've all seen what's going on. And can anyone really say they've been hugely excited at a consistent amount of our games? It's a hard one. It's a hard one. You look at the stats and it shows that it's okay, but gut feeling is just totally different.
A lot could argue as well there, Sam, that those stats are boosted somewhat by our cup runs over the last few, you know, few seasons. I think it was, what, 17, 18 EFL Trophy wins in a row after that defeat at home to Chelsea in 2018. We've had a few good FA Cup runs as well, Carabao Cup sort of mini runs as well. You could argue that maybe those stats have been boosted by that. But, you know, 100%, you know, I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
you know, the numbers are there to say that Kenny Jacket has been a fairly successful manager at this club. And I don't think you could really argue with that. And it's just, I wouldn't say, Ivan, but it's necessarily been, there's no way that Kenny, whether he leaves this summer, next summer, or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10, 20 years down the line, there's no qualms in saying that Kenny Jacket has been a terrible manager, because he hasn't. He's delivered fairly successful seasons. You know, you look back on the likes of Richie Barker in League Two, for example. That is an example of someone who didn't quite work out so well. Now, Kenny might not deliver promotion. It might not work out for him this season. But I think the exaggeration maybe that he's the worst manager we've ever had is a little bit too far.
Yeah, no, of course. And, you know, these things are heightened because people can't go to the stadium and things like that. So possibly they expect more and they want to see, and I think there's extra scrutiny there because, you know, everybody is on iFollow. Everybody is, you know, on Twitter more. I won't go into Twitter because, you know, we've seen what people can say on Twitter and it isn't always that helpful. But to be honest with you, I think, and I do feel uncomfortable ever calling for a man to lose his job. And I would never say, well, I think this person should replace him, because I think it'd be disrespectful to. However, I've got to say that, as I mentioned earlier, this is his squad now. And it's not as if, I always think you give a manager as long as humanly possible you can give them to make an impact. But the problem I have is this is now his squad. There are very few players in that squad that aren't his. And I think going on from that, the scrutiny has got to be there. There's no one else that you can blame for this because this is him. And, you know, we have spent quite a lot. For a League One team, we have spent quite a lot of money. All right, we haven't splashed it as much as Sunderland, but then equally, they've not done too well either. So, but yeah, I think I don't see any direction it's going in. And I, even if we scrape playoffs, going on, like Sam said, going on previous form of us in the playoffs, I'll be hiding behind the sofa instead of watching it because, my God, it's been dreadful.
Jeff Harris on Facebook says something needs to change quickly, but I don't believe that will happen anytime soon. I hope I'm proved wrong, but I just can't see it, as Kenny doesn't appear to know what his best team is still, which is worrying. And Paul O'Neill says, but Jackal has lost the dressing room and keeps chopping and changing the team, and it does not work. The performance on Saturday was a disgrace and the worst I've ever seen. This is all filtering down to the players on the pitch, whose lack of commitment and passion is simply unacceptable, says Paul O'Neill there on Facebook. And sorry, not sorry, Sam, Ivan, and everyone listening back home. If you're re-listening back to the podcast, I'm pretty sure it's gone over an hour. But, you know, we'll wrap up in the next few minutes or so. Going to get to some score predictions now. Coming in on Facebook, Terry Tongs. So these are all entertaining as well, by the way, lads. Not very positive. I don't think you can expect anything more, though, could you? Jeff Parker going for a home win, 2-1 to Pompey. Andrew Perry's going 3-1 to Sunderland. Alan Snelling thinks Pompey will win 4-0. Alan Miller reckons we'll be lucky to get a 0-0 on recent form. Dave Birch says it all depends what team will turn up. If we play like we can do, 2-1. But if we play like we have been lately, 4-0 to Sunderland. Sean Allen's going for a 4-0 Sunderland. James Caudry's going for a 2-1 Sunderland. Marcus Deakins is going for a 6-0 Sunderland. Wow. 6-0 Sunderland. But, lads, if you thought that was the most pessimistic score prediction, you'd be wrong. Not that I truly believe this person here is being too truthful in their prediction, but Mackenzie Moore is going for a 14-0 Sunderland win. Mackenzie Moore, 14-0 Sunderland. I know it's been bad lately, but come on.
I think that person may want a refund for their iFollow. I get that distinct.
Saying that Mike Edwards is going for a 9-0 win for Sunderland. Andrew John's gone one better. He's going for 10-0 to Sunderland. We'll finish on a positive one, lads. Tony Little, 2-0 Pompey. Okay. Those are the somewhat entertaining predictions from back home on the socials there, I've got to say. But what do you think, Sam Carter? Score prediction from you firstly, please.
Oh, I can't ever say that I think Pompey are going to lose, but then at the moment I can't say we're going to win, so I reckon it'll be 1-0.
Ooh, 1-0. Confident. How about you, Ivan? What are you going for?
On current form, I've got to try and be optimistic. 2-1 Sunderland.
Going to be honest, lads, my prediction is a 2-0 defeat based on recent form, defensive showing, lack of ideas going forward, our home form, Sunderland's overall form of late, the fact that they like to score late on, Pompey concede late on, the fact that we've not won a game in nearly 2 years, haven't been behind, you know, we'll take, you know, concede the first goal. Not confident at all, but I'm happy to be proven wrong, of course. Lads, it's been an absolute pleasure, as always, to have you both back on the Football Hour last night, today as well. Thank you both for calling back this morning. Wishing you both a good week. Thank you both for coming on.
Cheers, Jake.
Pleasure, mate.
Well, that does almost bring an end to the show, I'm afraid. But as ever, there is another Blues game just around the corner. Whether that's actually something to look forward to at the moment, I'm not sure. Nonetheless, all of the pre-match build-up, live kick-by-kick commentary and a post-match analysis of Pompey versus Sunderland starts at 7 o'clock this evening here on Express FM.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
It was an absolute horror show for Pompey last time out as they fell to a 4-1 defeat away at Northampton Town.
A completely forgettable and awful afternoon.
afternoon for Portsmouth.
Next up, the Mackens of Sunderland are in town. Join us for all of the unmissable action this evening from 7.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Do join us to see if the Blues can get their season back on track. They take on the Black Cats of Sunderland this evening from 7 o'clock here on Express FM on Pompey Live to see if they can turn around their fortunes at Fratton Park and try to keep up with the pace of the two sides in the top of the table. Also try and maintain their position in the playoff position. Sunderland will be no walkover. It's certainly going to be a tough task for Kenny Jackett's men, who are winless in their last three fixtures. Okay, once again, my thanks go to Sam Carter and Ivan Prefero for joining me last night and, of course, this morning to finish this Football Hour on Express FM. It's been a fantastic 60 minutes or so. We've had plenty to cover on the show. Also, a big thank you to everyone who got involved on the text, tweets and emails. You got in your frustrations, your pre-match predictions as well. It's always great to hear from you all. Also, a big shout out to Stagecoach Across the South for supporting the Football Hour this season. Head to stagecoachbus.com to view timetables, fares, prices and the latest COVID-related guidelines. I'll be back with Ryan Honey and Adam Hillier this Friday from 6 o'clock to preview Pompey's EFL Trophy final. They take on Salford City at Wembley Stadium on Saturday afternoon. But until then, Blues fans, have a great week. Stay safe and play up, Pompey.